Hello everyone, I'm Stephen Crother, Bishop of Oxford. Welcome to the podcast, My Extraordinary Family. For each edition, I'm talking with someone I've come to know across the diocese and occasionally beyond about their faith, about their work and about their story. And I'm asking people what it means to them to be more Christ-like, more contemplative, more compassionate and more courageous. And today, I'm really delighted to be with my friend and colleague Andrew, who's the Bishop of Reading. Andrew became Bishop of Reading in 2011, having previously served as a bishop for 4 years in Ethiopia. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Stephen. It's lovely to be with you.
That must have been quite a transition for you and Janice and the family. What are some of the things you remember about your early years in the diocese and starting out?
Starting out, it was pretty overwhelming, to be honest with you, Stephen. We'd been in Ethiopia for 9 years, and I was 4 years of that as bishop there. We had about 2 weeks between finishing there and starting here, so an international move and trying to make sense of landing in this country again after all that time away and setting up a home in a lovely part of Berkshire. But just the scale of the ministry that I came into, even though it's a much smaller geographical area, of course, and the scale of everything that was going on was incredible. Really, really busy from the word go, really. And just trying at the same time to process all the things that we'd been living with and coping with out there. And then noticing, you know, how subtly different the Church of England is. There are obvious and big differences, but the subtle differences, a huge amount of regulation around activities, much more freedom to be a bishop over there, to make decisions. Right. Executive decisions that have a real impact, and here just realizing how difficult that was. But I think the biggest difference that we both felt was, I think I've learned that people here call it functional atheism, that seems to be sort of deep in the culture inside the church and outside the church here too, that you find yourself in the church meeting and, you know, nobody prays beforehand or afterwards. So, of course, that happened a lot overseas. You'll know this from your early experience of the Church overseas. And so people are praying all the time. So we began to change that. And but that was just something I just noticed that was slightly strange.
And as most people listening to the podcast will know, you're now in your last few months.
I am.
Before retiring from your role.
Yes.
So what have you enjoyed most about your years as Bishop of Reading?
Gosh, Stephen, so many things. I've loved being part of this diocese, which is huge and complex. But I've loved Berkshire, and I've particularly loved is the engagement with the clergy and the people in the parishes. So I've loved going out on Sundays and doing Sunday preachments, and I've loved the confirmation services. Lots of the one-to-ones with people I'm particularly warm to. But it's also things like the minister's been really important during my time in Reading. The minister that they've developed there has been inspirational, right in the heart of Reading itself. This is the overnight ministries as well, but also the county ministries. So they've been going for some time. But this had rather more of a profile for me, certainly, over the last few years. So things like the Crown Court opening service, the big major celebrations marking the anniversaries of the First World War, the BBC Radio Berkshire carol service every year, and working with A.B. Walker, the big funeral directors in Reading, for a major service they put on once a year, inviting everyone who they've done a funeral for to come back. That sort of parish ministry type stuff, but from the Minster, which has actually got a very good profile now in the town of Reading itself, but also working across the county with people. It's been lovely meeting people at all sorts of levels in the county.
Yeah, it's amazing. I spent a day last week, as you know, listening to different groups of people talking about the qualities that we should be looking to see in your successor. And I heard a huge amount of appreciation for your ministry. Perhaps most of all, I think, the sense that you're able to be at home in lots of different styles of worship. Is that something that comes naturally to you?
Do you know, if it does at all, it's because of the way in which I think I've been shaped during my ministry. As an ordinand, I grew up in a very Anglo-Catholic parish. I was never entirely wedded to all of that, but there was something about the sacramental spirituality that's really important to me. But during my time, as I worked on a big diocesan housing estate, I was exposed to the ministry of John Wimber, that had a massive impact on me.
I think we worked out once we went to the same John Wimber conference, didn't we? In Wembley.
It was Wembley, yeah. It was. 10,000 pastors there.
Indeed, yeah.
And I went along. It was an extraordinary experience. Very good friend, actually, I think you and I have in common, a chap called John Leach. Said, come along with me. And I was slightly critical, and I went along with my notebook. and I thought I'd make some notes of this interesting sociological phenomenon. And at one stage, towards the end of the thing, John Wimber asked all the pastors to stand.
Yes, I stood.
And prayed for us.
Yeah.
And I was just, I don't know what you call it, slain in the spirit, I suppose. I fell over backwards, and it felt as if there were sort of pins and needles being picked, as it were, from my flesh all over my body, and kind of this extraordinary sort of blissful state. And all these people around me caught me. And when something like that happens, you had to re-examine many of your existing categories. So what did this mean? Why was God doing this now? What did this mean for my ministry on this big GLC housing estate, where I was trying to be very Anglo-Catholic and hope that by doing things more beautifully, people would come? And they kind of weren't. So that changed my discipleship, really. And it took me back to the scriptures in a way which was not cerebral, but from the heart, and just noticing what God was doing among God's people, amongst us. The other major occasion when my discipleship was changed, I suppose, would have been Ethiopia, where the Anglican Church is both liturgical and Pentecostal. So I think for me, wherever people obviously love the Lord, I'm happy, and I don't really mind how we do that. So I love going to Grey Friars, to a confirmation, where the music's fantastic and the sense of God's presence is wonderful. And I love going to a church in Windsor where we're using incense and, you know, celebrating Corpus Christi. It's all good, really.
That's fantastic. And people said of you that you are just able to bring that sense of joy and enjoying being there, and a sense of the presence of Christ. Andrew, can I ask you, how have you been able to sustain yourself and look after yourself in this ministry and in all the other things that you've done?
I think several things. I think that a regular discipline of prayer has been really important. I'm taking time over morning prayer particularly. I have a prayer room in my house. I'll take about 40, 45 minutes over that. I'll sing bits, I'll silence, sometimes flat on my face before the Lord, asking for strength and courage to get through the times I've got to get through. A day a month, if I can, at Dowie Abbey, which is just down the road. I often find that I take work, but a couple of hours sorting through papers with a computer, then I can focus completely on being present in that place. And often it's about remote preparation for things. Mm. So reading something I really want to get to the core of and make my own. Retreats, the area team has been really important for me.
I know you've often spoken of that, and you take them away.
Yeah, absolutely. So the area deans, we've been going away to monasteries. So 2 years ago, we went away to a monastery in Belgium. Yeah. The monastery of St. Andrews, outside Bruges, which is a Benedictine place. But they had connections with Africa as well. This is how I came to know them originally. And wonderful location, but a lovely community too. And of course, this last year we were in Bec in northern France. So the area dean's team has been really important, but the area team, working with Archdeacon, Assistant Archdeacon, and PDA, and Director of Ordinands, and we meet every week for two and a half, sometimes 3 hours. We dwell in the Word together, and we notice together where we've seen God at work, and then we get into the business of the agenda. And it's become like a little ecclesial community, really. And it's very important, I think, for all of us to have somewhere where we can really connect deeply with our colleagues and be ourselves in ministry, not have to inhabit a role all the time, so we can be yourself. So there's the kind of ways that I try and sustain that ministry.
And you mentioned dwelling in the Word then, and that's one of the practices that's emerged from Partnership for Missional Church, which you've led for the diocese, a programme of change and renewal. And I know that's been transformative for parishes in Berkshire that have engaged with it, for your own area team, as you just said, and in many ways, beginning to be transformative for the diocese.
Yes.
What do you think's made it so fruitful?
I think, on reflection, I would say that two things, really. The first thing, the most obvious thing that anyone involved in PMC would say, is that the spiritual discipline is really important. So dwelling in the Word, dwelling in the world, announcing the kingdom, hospitality, those things are become like sort of threads that connect up the way that you approach ministry and the way that you think about what God's about. And that's the second really important thing, which is it's based on the Missio Dei, the idea that God is always at work in this world for good, however things appear to be. And it's a matter of trying to notice what God is doing, who God is sending to you. And it's about deep culture change. And it's about, and it challenges the way, again, that you think about your categories. So having come to ministry as a high churchman with a high view of the church. I now have a higher view, I think, of the kingdom. And it's changing my ecclesiology subtly, so that I'd see that the task that was set as the church actually is to form Christian community within the mission of God. And I think that's changing the way that I think about what it is that we're doing in churches. It's changing the way that I'm thinking with parishes in vacancy about how we point people, invite people to come and share this missional journey with us. So it's been a very important process.
And as you know, as a diocese, we're exploring ways in which we can be more Christ-like, contemplative, compassionate, courageous.
Yes.
What are the things you're learning about being compassionate?
That's really interesting. I was hoping you might ask me that particular one. I love all of them. But for me, the compassionate thing is about, it begins with oneself. And again, this comes out of PMC, really, Stephen. I think that we're in this kind of state that we're in as a nation, and perhaps as a church to a certain extent, because we've forgotten who we are, and we've forgotten whose we are. And we're made in the image of a loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be in relationship with God and one another. And if we can just remember, be compassionate with ourselves and remember whose we are, that we are loved by God, and to notice Christ in one another, I think that actually could change everything. From that kind of binary thinking that we get locked into so often, which becomes adversarial church politics, which are never very edifying and often feel quite destructive. So I just feel that if we can be more compassionate with ourselves, with one another, being the body of Christ, really being the body of Christ, and starting everything we do from that point of view, then it could transform many of the things that we get stuck on.
So seeing Christ in each other.
Seeing Christ in one another.
And remembering whose we are.
And recognising that we are temples of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. How are you going to be spending these final couple of months in the diocese?
Well, trying to finish, to tie off some loose ends, but mostly spending time with people. So we've got some deanery visitations. I've got 6 deaneries. I'm going to be spending 3 days in each deanery over the next few weeks. It'll be fairly intense, but actually it'll be lovely because we'll be doing things like I'll be offering a quiet evening for parishes, lay people and clergy, MDRs, doing some confirmations, one-to-ones with clergy, meeting groups of younger clergy and curates, meeting lay chairs and church wardens, and meeting head teachers of church schools. It's all about the relationship for me. I think that's a very important part of Episcopal ministry. And I think it's just actually, in a sense, celebrating the relationships that we have begun to really enjoy across Berkshire. And it's a lovely way to finish this particular phase of my ministry as a Christian. I am thinking about that, and actually, I won't share it now, but it is being shaped strongly by PMC, you won't be surprised to hear. And I'm designing the farewell service on the 1st of May with something of that in mind. So, you know, what is it I'm going to say to the Diocese of Oxford? And I some ideas are coming through.
So we look forward to that.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you so
much. Andrew, would you, thank you for not just for this conversation, but for your friendship and
thank
the joy
you too,
of
Stephen.
Working with you has been
it's been a joy working
real
with
privilege.
You too, really
would,
has.
Would you pray for the
Of course, I'd love to, Stephen. Let's pray. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you and praise you for the Diocese of Oxford, for its clergy, its people, its institutions. Thank you for the life which you have given us in Christ. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the many things that are happening across this diocese in so many ways. Thank you particularly for Stephen, our bishop, for his love for you, for his commitment to all of us as your people. Thank you, Lord, that you are calling us with Stephen to be more Christ-like. Help us to remember who we are and whose we are. Help us to know, each of us, that we are loved by you. Help us to see Christ in one another and to rejoice in Christ in one another. And help us, Lord, to notice what you are doing in this world. Help us to notice who you are sending to us. And as you bless us, we pray that you would use us to be a blessing to many, that we might bring joy and love and peace and the renewal of the gospel to all those whom we meet. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Andrew, thank you so much, and thank you for being part of this extraordinary family.
Thank you very much, Stephen.